The following program is brought to you in living color.
I'm going to start fading out.
It's the font for me. The Highway to Heaven font is so ridiculous.
Are you starting this one?
Hello, and welcome to Land and Nation.
Whoa, it's the album cover on your screen right now.
Yeah, look at that. Pretty cool.
Double angel.
Double angel.
How you doing, Kelly?
I'm doing well. How are you, Mark?
I'm doing all right, Kelly.
A little disoriented. We had a rough start.
Yeah, we had a rough start. Normally, I don't have so many technical difficulties, but...
Had trouble getting it going, but here we are. Talking about Highway to Heaven.
Yeah, it's weird. I had to log out and then log into a totally different account in order to get it to work.
Yeah, which is crazy because you could have just been like, I quit.
Well.
And just been done with it. But anyway.
You know, I'm just talking. Not. I like to avoid confrontations.
You just thought I would give up after a while. Right. You wanted to drive me into quitting.
It's 11 o'clock. Oh. One more thing. Let me just try.
We are talking about Ghost Rider. Is possibly a Nicolas Cage movie.
A Nicolas Cage movie from 2007 called Ghost Rider.
This is a very, well, it's season 3, episode 24. It's a very punny title because, of course, she's a ghost writer.
Yeah.
And then the guy, as we'll get into it, is like a ghost that she's like in love with. It's very weird. But anyway, it's a very punny title.
It's cute.
This episode is kind of weird. I kind of like it, but there are some parts where I just am like, wow, this is like uncomfortably weird.
I feel like we're going to blow through this episode. And I chose the episode not because I remembered it as a good episode, but because it...
You remembered that you hated it?
Because I read about the topic, and I'm like, oh, that sounds like it could be good. And instead we get kind of a who's on first type of gag. We get... I don't know. We get some weird stuff.
It's... there are a couple of things that are pretty funny. Some things that are kind of creative, but a lot of it is kind of cringy. I think overall, I would not say that this is like one of the best Highway to Heavens that we get, but yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, let's get into it. So the opening music and everything and the way that Mark is reading that magazine reminded me a lot of, I'm forgetting the title of it, but the banana episode that we covered where Little Joe's going to be a detective.
Oh,
like how to start a podcast. Remember we did that.
Yeah. Why? I can't remember the title. It's called Joe Cartwright Detective.
There's only 500 episodes to remember the titles.
I know. I think it's called Joe Cartwright Detective. And that was a very funny episode. And then that one is, of course, very similar to the Little House episode when, Laura and Andy Garvey have their little detective agency thing. That's and they're like reading Michael Landon loves to do stuff with like spy novels.
It's very like '50s, I think. It's very like the Hardy Brothers, or is it the Brothers? Hardy Boys.
The Hardy Boys. The
Hardy Brothers.
The Hardy Brothers.
That's like the
Hardy Bros.
That's the Canadian version. And see, it's like a heart tree, kind of.
Yeah, that is kind of funny. And the music is kind of fun, actually. Yeah.
And now listening to it, it's kind of like a little bit James Bondish.
And like, look at how he reads.
James Bondage. That magazine doesn't look like it.
Looks James a little Bondage. Bit. James.
That's what this guy should have been. He should have been an adult actor. James Bondage.
That was really funny. It's James Bondage for you.
James Bondage never like lets go.
What a storm.
Good, eh?
Oh, fantastic. I mean, what a rider. What a woman. Well, got any idea what our next assignment is yet?
Well, sure, I thought you'd never ask.
You mean you know?
Yeah, why do you act so surprised?
Because every time I ask you what the next assignment is, you say something like, I don't know, all I know is that we're supposed to be here.
Does the name Natasha Gudinoff ring a bell?
Does the name Natasha Gudinoff ring a bell? Are you kidding? She's my favorite. That's who I've been reading.
What a terrible name, by the way. I'm sorry to all the Natasha Gudinoffs that are listening. But it's not like this like exotic name. I mean, it's Natasha? Exotic again. No, Natasha is not a bad first name, but the Gudinoff, like that's a tough. I mean, you put them both together. I don't mind the name Natasha. And that's a good name because of, you know, it's kind of like the whole Bullwinkle thing.
Listen to this.
Oh, right. The crackle. Yeah. Actually, I hadn't even thought of that until you mentioned it.
Bullwinkle. That's right.
The true story of secret agent Roger Bolt by Natasha Gudinoff. Natasha Gudinoff. A woman.
Can we say it one more time?
Yeah, right.
That is the envy of all women and desired by all men.
James Bondage.
Oh, blonde, mysterious, sultry, beautiful, as alluring as she is deadly. A former double agent from Moscow.
Her real name is Helen Hobnagel, and she's a former fast food waitress from Milwaukee.
You're kidding.
So they go on about, like, kind of what they are going to do. And then he reveals that they're not actually there to help Natasha. They're here to help someone else. And this is who they basically are there to help.
Not sulking.
Oh, wait, did I miss the part? I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry.
No dogs allowed.
No matter what her name is, she needs help. I mean, this is a person whose prayers need answering. I mean, it's a crummy job, but somebody's got to do it, and we will do it, Jonathan, because she is our assignment.
Well, she's not our assignment.
Don't say that.
Mark, she's not our assignment.
I ask her not to say that.
Oh, come on, don't sulk.
Not sulking.
They are not a couple.
Yeah, right, I know.
So here they're in the, they're talking about who actually is the assignment.
Else, okay. All right, I am sulking. Getting me all worked up about Natasha Gudinoff and then...
Look, all I did was ask if her name rang a bell.
That's... Well, it did. It rang a whole lot of bells, okay?
Do you want to know what our assignment is?
No.
Someone's not putting out tonight.
All right, yes. What's our assignment?
Birdie Belker.
What?
Birdie Belker.
What is a Birdie Belker?
Birdie Belker is the person that really writes those stories about Roger Bolt.
And so we have a ghost writer, as you pointed out. Very punny. Oh, your thing vanished. Oh, let's see. Is it going to come back? So we have Didi Kong. Not I forget who I said that I thought it was. And I'm just going to play the clip while I try to fix this. So she's typing away in her
her facial expressions while she writes just like totally drive me crazy.
Like that?
It's just so weird. Well, and like she just sits there making all these like really animated faces while she's writing, and it's very odd.
It's weird. I remember her being in so many things in the late 80s and in the late 70s. Kind of.
That is how I look while I write the Prairie Review, though.
Is it? Like this?
Yeah. Yeah, yep. I have my pile of Kleenexes sitting next to me.
This is my face when I don't know, when I get any complaint whatsoever. But yeah, she's a very animated person. Did you ever see the musical Grease? The movie Grease?
I think we talked about this the last time that we did a highway that had her in it.
Because I forget if you saw.
We did the other, it was earlier in season 3 of Highway to Heaven. She was in that one episode that we reviewed a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I have not seen the entire thing, but like bits and pieces of it.
She actually
I
mean, has like a pink wig in, on it, and she's in, you know, she's kind of a memorable role, I think.
Be absurd. There isn't any hay around here.
So this is the real Natasha, and she's dressed kind of like Carmen Sandiego. You know, she's like, I don't know.
Well, also, like, earlier, I mean, like, at the beginning of the episode, Mark, wait, Jonathan, sorry. I swap them all the time. He was saying that, you know, her real name is Helen and she's a waitress from Milwaukee. You mean to tell me she's from Milwaukee and, like, what is with this accent?
Yeah.
Isn't there something you can do about that cold? You've had it for months.
It's hay fever.
Don't be absurd.
It's hay fever.
There isn't any hay around here. All there is that dying plant. Can't you get rid of it?
It needs me.
That's so weird.
It is. It's very weird. I find her to be a little irritating. And once I got about halfway in this episode, I was thinking, like, all right, Kelly's going to be mad I picked this episode.
Yeah. Yeah. I find her irritating as well.
Yeah.
I was kind of like, really, why'd you pick this, Mark?
Well, really, I picked it because it's supposed to have like a paranormal type of cool, you know, weird thing. And it's like, oh, geez.
I am picking the episodes forevermore.
Exactly.
Oh, Natasha, my darling.
Kiss, Grumpy.
Now listen, you don't worry about the story. You take all the time you need, Natasha.
Nonsense, Grumpy.
This guy's like a combination of like Hansen and someone else. I don't know. He just has a certain Hansen look.
He has some real prairie brow going on.
That's how he got the job. What the hell? Wait, you know what this might be good for? Let's see if we
Barracuda.
Can. Oh, wait, that is good too, but I was going to do...
The world is a vampire. Whoop.
Oh, well.
The world is a vampire. Santa Jay.
Secret
destroyer.
I like it.
No, wait, try it with Barracuda.
Barracuda.
I still think that's like the dumbest.
It is so dumb. It is easily the dumbest. Like, if you're not seeing the video on this of Rumble, you're missing out on a lot.
Yeah, it makes me laugh way too much.
It's better than the whole episode. All right, let's we're gonna move forward a little bit. So she's gonna be she's not Jewish from what I could tell, but her parents are clearly
It's just really funny because in the notes he said the thing about her mother being like a typical Jewish mother. Yeah. And like when I was watching this, I was like, are they supposed to be Jewish? Like I was like trying to figure it out.
She's just basically saying like, why aren't you doing this? And you're
like, I mean, she's 30. So her biological clock is ticking and all that stuff. It's like, okay.
I also find it so strange that she's technically a pretty successful writer, but she gets no credit for it or money for it.
Yeah.
It seems maybe she's getting, she's not getting enough money to buy that car, which I can't believe what they spent on it for the time.
And what if he doesn't?
Oh, wait, all right, let's.
Norma.
Then her mother tells her how old she is.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. I'm sorry. I totally skipped over this voiceover. I thought it was okay, actually.
It actually might be like one of the best parts of the episode, honestly. Yeah,
I was, you know, as I'm going to play it, but I was thinking like he should have done this type of thing elsewhere.
Except Friday night.
All right.
You know, actually, what's pretty interesting, like they could have done that, like an interesting idea. I think my own ideas are interesting. They could have done that.
Me too.
For like every episode, like that could have been like his thing, right? Like, give like a little overview of their assignment.
And, you like, mean like for Highway, with. Not for Little House?
Yeah, like for Highway. Yeah.
I think so. It could have gone a whole Dragnet type of
press party tonight.
Oh yes.
See the tissues she has on her? It's kind of weird.
Mm.
What's the deal with that?
That's odd.
Yeah. Jeez, yes, of course. Bertie Belker, a meek 30-year-old lady with no gentleman callers, no girlfriends, and no plans for the evening. She has nothing but a dead plant and the story she writes about the man of her dreams.
See those facial expressions? Yeah. I hate it.
You just want to punch her.
I mean, this is what I imagine people writing like Dr. Quinn fan fiction look like.
Secret agent. Barakura. Roger Bolt. Every night she goes home alone to an empty, dark apartment.
Did you ever watch Dragnet by any chance? I don't know if that was like something.
I did, but it's been a very, very long time.
So you get the joke, though, right? It's kind of.
Mm-hmm. Right. She has a cup of bouillon and a donut and pours over stacks of declassified government documents, looking for references to secret agent Roger Bolt, who's been dead since 1968. She does the same thing every night, except Friday night when she has dinner with her parents.
Shabbos. The lights are all out too.
Every Friday night they ask her the same three questions.
So how was work this week?
Shabbat shalom, Abba. I mean, I just would love it if they were somehow like Orthodox or something.
Fine.
What's in that crock in the middle, you think? That's a big crock. I mean, are they having soup?
I was like, soup is like what I would guess.
Yeah.
How's the car running?
Good, Bob. Real good. Did you meet any men? No, Ma.
Then her mother tells her how old she is.
You're 30 years old, Bertie.
Then her mother tells her what time it is.
It's later than you think.
Then she does the TikTok speech.
You have a biological clock, Bertie. Maybe you can't hear it ticking, but I can.
Yeah, it's definitely soup.
Yeah.
Tick-tock.
Like, maybe she hasn't met anyone because she slurps her soup like that.
Tick-tock.
Bertie doesn't answer her mother. She waits for her father to do that.
Seriously, why does she slurp her soup like that?
If my kid did that, I would go, that's disgusting.
Yeah, I mean, it is really gross, actually.
Yeah, it's like...
Man.
When?
When the right one comes along.
And what if he doesn't? Bertie, you've got to go out and find a man. She should take a class.
I'm taking classes, Mom.
Maybe don't talk with your mouth full of food.
She's taking classes.
You call those classes? She took a rudeness class.
Assertiveness training, Mom.
Yeah, and the hawking and the chopping class.
Self-defense for single women.
Single women? And who do you think you're going to meet at a class called Self-Defense for Single Women? Single men? No. A whole room full of single women with biological clocks. Hawking.
All right. So
yeah, and then I'm getting flashbacks. Totally like, yeah.
All right. But the dad is like a little bit more gentle. I think that they should just go a completely different route with her personally.
Mm.
Maybe, you know. Just, you know, buy a personality or something. Let's see. Mark calls Jonathan Kemosabe often, right? Like, that comes up from time to time.
Yes, a recurring thing.
Yeah.
We're going to handle this one, Kemosabe.
What do you mean?
I mean, what are we going to do? Are we going to get a job on our magazine? We're going to move in next to her? We're going to do repairs? How are we going to get close enough to help her?
Mark's, like, really involved this time around, right? He's, like... I don't know.
Yeah, he's pretty active, actually. It's kind of funny because some episodes, you'll just be like, what happened to Mark? You know, like, it's like he's doing nothing. And then some episodes, I mean, there are a few when Jonathan gets, like, called away or punished or whatever, and he's not around. But, yeah, it's really kind of inconsistent how involved they get.
Mm. They decide to kind of sort of appear that they're mugging Bertie.
Excuse me, miss.
Freeze, dirtbag!
All I do is say, excuse me, miss.
What?
Freeze, I said! One more step and you're dead meat! I'm trained in martial arts and this is lethal gas!
Bertie, we're not muggers.
Stay where you are, street scum. How'd you know my name?
I want to call people street scum.
I know a lot about you, Bertie. You see, I'm an angel.
You expect me to believe that, bozo?
He's telling you the truth, miss.
Stay back, punk! I'm warning you!
Miss, there's nothing to be afraid of!
You asked for it, you big gorilla!
Bertie!
It's like Banaka.
Bertie! Bertie! It's breath spray. You took the wrong cannon.
You see the wind hitting his hair just right? I heard Joe Lando was very
jealous. I know, he has that fan system going on.
Yeah. Your purse.
Now look, miss.
All right. So they're like, go upstairs and check on the plant, because that's going to be proof that Mark's an angel.
It's kind of interesting that he reveals that he's an angel right away, too.
Yeah, like he goes right for it. Not a fern. I would think that Birdie would be a fern type, actually. Mm. You know, just kind of dull. So she's just like, oh, what's it like to be an angel? She's not really too...
It just occurred to me that they could have made that little voiceover thing better if he had said, like, you know, every night she goes home to a dark apartment, watches an episode of Little House on the Prairie, and then, like, you know, goes into the Roger Bolt stuff. That actually would be really funny.
Yeah, that would be actually pretty good. It'd be a little bit of a little bit of a jab at the fans of Little House. But I think, you know, a deserved jab.
An accurate jab. Yeah.
Glory.
An accurate jab.
I don't really care that Natasha puts my name on everything I write. What do I want? I want someone to share things with. I guess I want the same thing my mother wants for me.
She has, like, really good hair, and I just feel like, let it grow out.
Mm.
I don't know. I'm very too critical of people sometimes. So they're just they're talking about Roger Bolt. He comes up and she's really obsessed, and you write, like, how it's like bordering on, well, maybe not even bordering on, it is pathetic.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's like she's obsessed with this dead guy, and I mean, like, their whole thing is that, well, like, she wants to, like, learn how to really live, right? It's like, well, you're not living because you're, like, obsessed with a dead guy, but
yeah.
It's just really pathetic.
Oh, it sounds crazy, but that's what I really am interested in. I love espionage.
And Roger Bolt.
Yeah.
What is that?
Especially Roger Bolt. That's him.
What do you mean you really knew him?
Oh, no. He died in 1968. But I know more about him than anyone. I know every case that's ever been declassified.
I have a picture right here of Michael Landon. No, I don't, actually. Just, like, in that same Woolworth's frame. So, basically, they're talking about being kind of, like, obsessed. And they talk about how he's what is referred to as a ghostly lover.
Belka.
And what happens then?
The alarm clock goes off.
You know, Birdie, fantasies are fine. What you need in your life is the real thing, not some secret agent that died 20 years ago.
Is this like Michael Landon's pickup line to, like, the interns?
Right.
I know you're a fan of Charles Ingalls, but fantasy is fine, but what you need is the real thing.
Yeah. I know, heard that radio psychologist once, Dr. Ruth Eastheimer, talk about fantasy lovers. She calls them ghostly lovers.
What?
Dr. Fraser Crane.
Hey, did you hear, why am I forgetting, Fraser Crane's actor's name?
Kelsey Grammer?
Kelsey Grammer, you know, he's coming out with a book.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's supposed to be pretty revealing, talking about the death of his sister from, like, 50 years ago.
I mean, because he has a book already, but, I mean, it was written, like, the 90s, so obviously, it was, like, a while ago, right? So it's, like, a lot of, since then, but,
it's supposed to be, like, a tell-all, like, it's supposed to be a pretty good book.
Interesting.
Yeah, a friend of mine said, you know, he just said there's a lot of buzz about it, like, right now.
And have I not heard of it? That's crazy. Yeah, I mean, like, so many Frasier groups and everything.
He might. I don't know if he's on a book tour, right? Like, you know, like a pre thing. Wait, I'm just Kelsey Grammer. I'm just kind of curious. I didn't, like, fact check it, so I'm like, wait, does he actually have a book coming out, or is I lied to? Yeah, May 6, 2025, it came out.
Hmm. I see that.
Karen, a brother, remembers. Yeah.
Interesting. Wait, is
it? Yeah. Well, there you go.
Huh. Oh, I might have to check that out.
Big Little House fan. No, I don't know about that, but imagine it. All right, let's... I was just going to play her in slow motion for a second.
I know, I heard that radio psychologist once, Dr. Ruth Eastheimer, talk about fantasy lovers. She calls them ghostly lovers. You make up or...
I still think, I don't know, I see a Joe Lando and Michael Landon mix here, but...
Yeah.
It's weird, but...
Yeah. This actor's name is Warwick Sims. Warwick.
Warwick Sims?
Yeah, what a name. Warwick.
That's a pretty...
Warwick.
Yeah. What would you go by? Warwick? After, I mean, I couldn't go by Warwick. Her face is very like it. So let's see. This guy's car is about to be auctioned off, and Mark brings up how... She should just totally go and bid on it.
Hopeless I am. There was an article in the paper today that they found Roger Bolt's car in a bonded warehouse and they're going to auction it off. For a second, I even thought about going down and buying it.
What stopped you?
Mark, it's a 1964 Aston Martin DB4. Not exactly my style.
And I don't know if that's just like a Michael Landon joke. Like, maybe it's like an inside joke because they stopped making the car in 1963.
Yeah.
Did he like crack up when he heard it was a 64? I don't know.
Yeah, like I was kind of wondering if he did that on purpose or not.
He must have. I mean, it's a very, very collectible car. Like $500,000 nowadays.
Well, maybe it ought to be your style.
Mark, I really don't think a sports car is the answer.
Sure it is. Some women go out and buy a new dress to cheer themselves up or a new hat. You know, a swanky car like this might just be the ticket. Give her a whole new outlook on life.
Some women. It's a bit of a sexist comment. Some women like to buy dresses.
Mark, I really don't.
I thought that was you who went.
Yeah, because Harry just came up on the sit next to me. She just like jumped up and she's like.
Roger Bolt's car.
Everyone's crowding around the computer like, we're watching this stupid episode again.
This is the worst. It's like John Voight's car.
Yeah.
This actually would have been a kind of a funny way to go with the John Voight thing, where it's like they have people chasing. All right, so this old Mercedes, it's old now, but it was like a new Mercedes back then, is all blacked out. It's kind of cool, I think. It's got the black grill and all that stuff and the little, I don't know why you would need wipers on your lights, but they have them.
Very fancy.
Very fancy. Flash. So I'm going to just guess that the guy's Russian because we have Natasha and his accent to me sounds like bad fake Russian, but
I have diplomatic immunity. So what is so urgent?
What is so urgent? Urgent.
This. They found Roger Bolt's car. They're auctioning it off tomorrow.
So?
The Krakow papers. We never found them on Bolt's body. We didn't find them in his apartment, and we never found the car. Now that's where they must be. He must have hidden them in the car.
So they have to go buy the car. It's a pretty simple story. I don't know what that car is in the background, but I think that you should trade in the Subaru and get that thing.
It's like a really cool station wagon.
Yeah, it's like 8 miles to the gallon.
8 miles.
A mile, yeah.
All right.
Jonathan Smith, Mark Gordon, these are my parents, Mr. and Mrs. Belker.
Oh, so you're the gardener.
I beg your pardon?
I told you he's an angel, Mark.
Oh, nice, maybe. Angel? We'll see.
Oh, God. So, it's so strange. Like, I mean, basically the dad has, like, the only funny line in the whole episode.
I think we better go in.
Listen, Angel,
I've gone along with this because it makes my baby happy. I don't know who you are, fella, but you keep your hands off her plants until you're married.
I'll take what? Definitely weird.
His reaction is kind of funny, too. Yeah.
Her plants?
All those wishing to bid today must register here. And
so this guy's like, I need a phone. This guy's kind of freaking out with his blinking.
For my client who wishes to remain anonymous, I'll require a telephone.
Of course, Mr. Welby.
65.
Marcus Welby. So I don't know what they're auctioning. Oh, well, I mean, all the numbers are fake, but this car is pretty cool. And it just sold for like $2,000 maybe.
When they come up to the car, I think actually maybe just went past it. Like, yeah. Watch Mark in the background as they come up to the car. It's really funny. Like, he's just like checking out the tweets and stuff.
The next classic up for bid is this 1964 Aston Martin DB4 owned by the late Roger Bolt. The car has been warehoused since 1968 and will be sold as is. We make no guarantees about its mechanical condition. We will start the bidding at $3,000.
This is really funny. I just thought it was like, it was just like feeling the seats and stuff.
It's so like, what's
this? Do I hear $3,000? Are you bidding that?
So they get into a bidding war, which is kind of bananas. This guy's got on his like cordless phone. They keep bidding.
State of the art back then, of course.
Yeah. With the antenna you have to pull out?
19.
It'd be funny if you had like a Motorola Razor or something.
That'd be awesome.
19. I have 19. Do I hear 20,000? 19,999.99.
So, I mean, it's a hell of a lot of money for a car, but it is a collectible car even back then.
Mm-hmm.
But the car is only about 30, maybe 25 or 35 years old at that point. So it was a 64. Yeah, it was only like 22 years old. So really it wasn't worth too much.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But now it's worth like a lot. And all right, so Mark makes the phone blow up.
Do we have any more bids?
The bid is at $20,000.
Ladies and gentlemen, 165.
Shall I go higher, sir?
You're really lucky.
Hello.
Hello. You know, this kind of makes me think.
We should totally hit it again, but I get for a dim night.
I was waiting for that to come out.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes, lady.
So she wins the car. She gets in the car and she sees the ghost of Bolt.
If you don't mind my saying, I think it could use a bit more choke.
Oh, yeah. Phew.
The name's Bolt. Roger Bolt.
All right. So she faints. Mark takes her upstairs. And we get, like, this kind of, like, I don't know, high school level stop animation. Oh, I guess it's not stop animation. Maybe, like, strings. I don't know. Maybe it's real magic. I really don't know.
Jonathan, that's you doing that, right? I mean, with the stuff.
Doing what?
The water. I mean, you're doing it, right?
No, I told you, that's him.
Him? Him? What is him?
Be all right. Oh, thanks, Roger. Come on, now, wake up, Rachel. Why don't wake up? Have a little water.
You poor thing. You look as if you've seen a ghost.
He's got a stupid ascot on. He doesn't pull it off, in my opinion. He doesn't look cool to me.
A ghost!
Oh, not again.
A ghost? Where?
Well, there.
Who?
Him.
Who him?
Him.
Who him?
Mark, will you stop asking me questions so I can get Birdie to stay conscious for more than 5 seconds at a time, huh?
Huh?
Yeah.
So, and funny how she has like little birdies. Is that her? Like,
I know. Thing? I was just noticing that actually. And, she's a little self-absorbed.
And
she's about as self-absorbed as Matthew Labrato that keeps trying to join.
I think it's the real. I think it's the real Matt Labrato. That's what I.
Who's your favorite character?
Matthew Labrato. I think this is supposed to be Houdini, but I don't know. Right here. And these are kind of, I don't know what this is back here. She's got a lot of these big, thick books. Phone books, maybe? I don't
know. You see, Bertie, some spirits, when their bodies die, just aren't ready to go.
What do you think she's listening to? She's got like a 20-band graphic equalizer. She like... Barakura.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Up there.
What kind of music do you think she's listening to back then?
Like, let's see. This is like late 80s.
Like Working 9 to 5 with Dolly Parton, maybe?
No.
Yeah, she's kind of like... Yeah, that's her favorite movie, maybe.
Didn't she?
All right. Well, we're going to get going with this episode. We bring up the ghostly lover talk.
Too, but don't you think she's more the Aston Martin type?
Bertie, this is your decision to make. I'm not telling you what to do, but the boss doesn't usually do things without a reason.
What do you mean?
Well, this just might be a chance to get rid of your ghostly lover.
Ghostly lover? Do you mean me?
Such a weird thing to say.
Ghostly lover. So we get back to these gangster Russian guys.
You let that car slip through your fingers, you idiot.
I don't know what happened, but don't worry. We know who's got the car. Some woman named Bertie Belker.
Who is Bertie. She?
Who is she?
Nothing. A nobody. We can take care of her.
Well, there aren't going to be any slip-ups this time. I'm
going
with you.
What if they just, like, okay, plot twist. They just go and, like, murder Bertie and inside of the episode.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be kind of interesting. And it's just like... Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it'd be kind of an interesting... Then, wait. I like this idea, but I think it can work. They kill Bertie, right? But then now she gets to be with Roger. Yeah, in all eternity, and they can live together in the car. Maybe. I don't know.
Just to steal a car?
Not just a car.
So they need these documents. This is really cringy. Like, the whole blowing kisses and stuff.
It's really bad.
Gonna kind of fast forward through it. Roger's kind of lusting on Natasha, which is also kind of creepy. Not necessarily for the lusting part, but because, like, she's, I don't know, maybe she doesn't deserve it.
Yeah. I guess I am. I'm in love.
In love?
Yeah, with my car.
Natasha! Natasha, how are you?
Grumpy darling.
You know my wife, Mrs. Crump.
All right. So the wife is jealous.
The wife looks like a man, right?
Yeah, she looks like a dude.
Darling.
Like, I mean...
Darling,
I don't want to be like mean or anything, but like for a second I was like, is that like a man dressed as a woman? But I mean,
yeah,
I think it is a woman.
But I anyway. Think, yeah, you know, like when they got married, he was just like, in order to get through the ceremony.
She was probably just talking to Natasha.
That's right, Mrs. Crumpy, darling.
Mrs. Crumpy, darling. Right here, wait. This is
Barracuda.
All right. Better than the actual episode.
Yeah. So she's like, I'm getting a divorce because you fell on this woman. Like, it's really stupid.
I mean, like, is he actually having an affair with Natasha, though?
I don't think so.
Or is she just, like, a flirty person?
Yeah, I mean, I get the impression she's just flirty. That's what I think. I don't like this car, personally. I wouldn't go out of my way with this car, but... She just parks anywhere she wants.
Oh!
Birdie, listen to me,
no,
please.
No, Roger. I'm a person. I'm not like the furniture. I've got feelings, too.
I know you're a person.
No, I'm more than that.
She just said she's a person. So they go off, and the Mercedes is chasing them.
Birdie, do you know anyone in an honest that car who might be just the tiniest bit?
Harrison's like, this is terrible.
Yeah, he's just like, well, this is the worst show ever. We already watched it during dinner. Do we really have to watch it again?
I do want to point out this is, looks to be the same year as My Beetle, but can't say for sure at this point. They're having a little bit of a chase ish.
Good thinking.
I think that it's the music that they really, really are enjoying a lot of.
Mm-hmm.
I would have liked it if they had a few things in the car that were like real James Bond type things where the license plate drops oil and makes the car behind them go into an accident or fog or, you know, something like that, or a machine gun. That would have been kind of fun. But that's what I was kind of expecting. See, you know, he is supposed to be a Roger Moore type of James Bond character, but not really. So let's see. Bad guys kind of come up.
All right. Out of the car. Out.
Your name is Booker. Birdie Booker.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that is kind of something that I hate.
Birdie Booker. So the ghost makes him shoot the gun in the air. And get beat up. And imagine this is your job. Like, you finally get a role. You're going to be working with Michael Landon. And you have to make believe that you're getting punched.
Right.
You're going to get punched by Michael Landon? No.
No, just going to get punched.
Just punched. Yeah, it's kind of weird. She uses the binaca on his face. And it's mistakes.
Everybody freeze!
Everybody freeze! LAPD!
Now what's going on?
Officer, there are papers in this car that prove these two men are spies! I'll put the cuffs on them and send for the meat wagon. Roger, we did it! We did it!
I am no...
Oh, brother.
Yeah. I love how the cops just, like, don't question anything. Yeah. Like, they're like, oh, cool.
Spy
right,
ring.
Let's wrap it up.
It's like, wrap it. He's excited because he's like, wrap it up. That means we're over, right? It's
done. Yeah.
Let's see. She's in the newspaper.
Hey, Janet, listen to this. The secretary who came in from the cold. Type is capture spy ring. A true story of Birdie Belker.
Who cares about fame and glory? Where's Roger Bolt?
Who?
Birdie finally met someone he cared about more than he did himself. Nice. He risked his immortal soul to save you. In so doing, he saved himself.
You mean he's up there?
He must be.
Oh, that was a thing that I guess we kind of glossed over, but I was thinking it was kind of weird.
That he went to heaven.
When I was watching it. Well, that they were pretty much like, hey, this is like your chance to escape hell, basically. Like, you know, they're like, oh, you know, like be good to Birdie. Like, you know, do this whole, I don't know. It was weird. It was basically like, you did a lot of bad stuff and I think that you're going to go to hell. But if you can like cooperate for this one thing, yeah, like for Birdie, then, you know, it's your last shot. It's your last shot, man.
And which is weird because it's like, what are we supposed to believe? Like, he's not that bad of a person. Like, what did he do that was so bad that would make him go to hell?
Well, and what's kind of funny is that they talk about him, like, drinking and, like, womanizing and stuff like that. Yeah. But I'm like, I mean, like,
big deal.
He could kind of say that kind of stuff about Michael Landon. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's just sort of funny.
Yeah, he's like,
the world is a vampire.
That's what his whole theme song was.
it's all over.
She puts on the music. She's like, she likes the Alive song.
The birdie of life's just beginning. Come on, it's time to live in the real world.
The real world is lonely, Jonathan.
How about a little tooth?
So she goes out and she runs into a guy who has groceries. And it looks kind of like Bewitched here, where it's like, bing!
Oh, yes, it is my fault.
No, you don't have to do that. You.
What, me?
Yeah, you. You're the lady in the newspaper. You're Bertie Belker.
Yeah, that's me.
Wow, I can't believe this. This is great.
He's a spy. Kills her right on the spot.
What a life you've had. I have to tell you, it's an honor to meet you.
Me?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Alvin Mintz.
Oh. Hi, Alvin.
Hi.
Bertie Mintz.
Bertie Mintz. I love the name.
BM. Fitz.
BM. Yeah. Great initials.
Yeah. I'm just moving in here.
Here?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. 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 Yeah.
Yeah.
We do a lot of that. So, let's see. Wouldn't the car have been a part of the story that she bought the car at auction with her parents' life savings?
Right.
And now it just gets parked on the street with the top down at all times.
Is that your car?
Oh, yeah. Thinking of selling it. Kind of outgrown it. Come on.
Okay. Well, we did it again, Kimosabe. You've got to admit, my idea worked. She met someone and Roger's upstairs.
I gotta hand it to you. You're right, you're right.
Well, maybe next time you'll take my suggestions, you know what I mean?
I don't get it.
Bolt's the name. Roger Bolt. Need a lift?
So he didn't go to heaven?
I mean, like, right. So he's still there, like, as a ghost? I don't know.
That's stupid. Yeah, I regret this choice, Kelly, and I apologize. Yeah.
I think that this is probably the fastest we've ever gotten through an episode.
Yeah. Well, I think they're all worth seeing, right? I mean, yeah, they're all entertaining. Definitely.
I mean, even like the ones that are kind of cringy, there's like something about it that's interesting.
Yeah, this one has that voiceover, which I thought was halfway decent, at least.
Yeah, I liked the voiceover thing. There are a couple of decent jokes, but the Bertie character was irritating. Yeah. I don't know. They could have done this better, I think, but...
Yeah, I don't know what they were trying to accomplish here. I think that was Michael Landon's car, and maybe he's like, I'm going to make an episode around this car. That way it could be a write-off for the episode.
Mm.
I wonder if they ever did anything like that. I wonder if that's even possible. You know, it's pretty sketchy, but, well, Kelly, thank you so much for getting together tonight. People should head on over to LandonNation.com. You should also head on over to DrQuinnCast.com, where the episodes are longer and they're focused on Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman.
Sure are.
Prairie Review is the place where you want to go when you're feeling down, because it's going to make you crack up.
Yeah,
tons of parodies, tons of good stuff. And why not head over to Walnut Grove Cast while you're over there? Get your fill of Little House on the Prairie. But yeah, Kelly, thank you so much for being together tonight. You pick the next one.
Okay. And every single one after that.
Pick a winner.